This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. We've got a great show lined up for you. First off, we'll talk to the MK Bandit. We're going to talk about the problems that independent promoters are having because of this coronavirus pandemic that we're going through. We'll also be joined by James Christopher Evans. We call him Chris on the Mat. We'll talk about WrestleMania, AEW, NWA, and more. Thanks for being with us. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words "fair play" written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need the cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I send them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
I am really excited to be talking to this gentleman right now on Turnbuckle Trash, Matthew Robles, also known as the MK Bandit, the heel manager of the greats in professional wrestler. MK, I'm going to call you MK throughout the show because that's how
that's
I know
fine.
You. So let's talk a little bit, first of all, this COVID-19 virus that has got every aspect of our lives just torn apart. And I know it's really affecting professional wrestling. And I wanted to talk to you because you are a promoter, also a performer.
Yes.
And you perform you promote in Phoenix. What's the name of your promotion in Phoenix?
I promote in Phoenix Championship Wrestling. And then I also, me and Joe DeFalco own Mecca, FSW Mecca in Las Vegas.
All right. Is that the Future Stars?
Yeah, Future Stars. It's Future Stars Mecca, which is I guess what you want to say is a subset of Future Stars.
Uh-huh.
It's basically put on four times a year, and each show is just basically a super show with basically the best of the independent wrestling all in one under one. So it's the only time you're going to get to see maybe a Ring of Honor star against a Impact star, or see independent wrestler against an Impact star, or we're basically trying to put matches together that you would not see anywhere else.
Boy, I want to go to that. You let me know when it's
awesome.
Going to be. I'll try to get to Vegas somehow to see that.
Well,
if
it was
I possibly
the last.
Can.
Oddly enough, think about this: it was the last professional wrestling event in Las Vegas. It was the Sunday night before everything shut down. It was literally a few of the wrestlers pulled out, but it was put on, and it was literally the last event right before they shut all of Las Vegas down.
Wow. And where do you usually hold that at? What casino or arena?
Usually Sam's Town. It's generally Sam's Town or the Cannery.
Oh, okay.
Eastside Cannery. So it's a big show and a big venue.
Yeah, we'd like to know when you can get this going. Let us know so we can help promote it, too. On Turnbuckle
Trash.
Oh yeah,
definitely. You guys come down, I'll get you in. It's a great event, and it was a brainchild of Joe DeFalco, who's a tremendous, tremendous promoter in Las Vegas, and he's basically made so many stars there almost single-handedly. He's had a lot of help, don't get me wrong, but he's the brainchild behind it. And I was asked to help with it, and I was just very happy because it's been a really good relationship.
Well, let's talk more about how the COVID-19 is affecting the wrestling business, and especially wrestling schools and also the independent promotions, because I don't know if anybody's really dealt with this subject matter. And I think it's fascinating to see, you know, we know that they just had WrestleMania 36 to no audience and to mixed results at best. And but how is the independent scene going to be affected by this, MK?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. The independent scene has come to a complete 100% stop along with the rest of the world. And what's going to be interesting to see is many companies are not as, I don't know how to put it, as well put together as others. So they don't carry a balance. And so they don't have a front office. And so they don't have any liabilities. So they're going to be able to, oh, okay, next Thursday, the quarantine or stay at home order's off. 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a show, because they don't carry a front office or a balance. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think the independent scene is going to jump to life before anything else because of that reason, because of the fact that when the wrestling stops, you're not renting some big building. You're not renting some arena. You don't have this front office staff. And so I think the independent wrestling scene's going to jump, start once it all kind of is, the green light is given, so to speak. Mm-hmm. However, wrestling schools do have buildings. Wrestling schools do have the front office, and they're the ones that are suffering. And the thing that people forget is a lot of these coaches and a lot of the trainers and promoters, they rely on those students and the students' tuition to keep things going. And so they're at a dead stop. I mean, they've literally lost their jobs.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's sad.
What they're doing, it's very sad. But, you know, this is what I love about the human race, I think, and living in the United States of America, which I consider the greatest country in the world. They find a way. Snake Pit Academy, Sin Bodhi, one of my favorite people in the world, Snake Pit Academy has been putting on Facebook Live training seminars, training videos, and just basically asking for donations, saying, this is how I make my living. If you can't make it to the Snake Pit Academy in Las Vegas because it's closed down, I'm willing to just go out there for free and hope enough people donate and watch my seminar on selling or my seminar on managing. A lot of them are saying, Danny Cage in particular, Monster Factory, is saying, I make my living at pro wrestling. Send me a match. Send me a couple of matches. Throw me whatever money you can afford to give me, and I will critique your match. And so they're finding a way. Unfortunately, there's just so many of us out there, independent wrestlers, independents, we can't all do that. But I like the fact that it may start a new way of training wrestlers, or at least doing seminars. You know, traditionally a seminar is given when a guy comes into your hometown and sits in front of you. You're never going to get that one-on-one personal, but maybe when Devotion brings a Sin Bodhi or a Danny Cage in, they can go Facebook Live for anybody to pay a couple of bucks to get the benefit of that seminar. So maybe out of this necessity came a really cool invention.
Yeah, entrepreneurial spirit really kicks in during hard times like this, doesn't it?
It really does. And you know, it's a lot more than what I like about it. It's a lot more than a bunch of people out there saying, hey, buy my T-shirt. You know what I mean? That's a given.
Right.
But if you can give some value, not that a T-shirt isn't value, but knowledge is in the professional wrestling world. Bubba Ray Dudley said it the best, is he would always say, I can teach the moves to anyone, but it's the psychology and the mentality that takes years and years to develop and understand. And so sitting there listening to someone talking about the psychology, someone there listening to talking about the right way to do something, the more mental aspects of it is hugely valuable. And to be able to do that from the comfort of your home and only have to give 20, 30 bucks for that is great.
That's a bargain at any cost, because as you and I both know, the psychology of wrestling is one of the great things in storytelling. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about a match, a lot of people look at it as, you know, it's the athleticism. No, that's not necessarily it. It's how they tell the story, how they sell the moves, how they react with the crowd. Because I've seen wrestlers that have great personalities that don't know how to play off a crowd. And that just, mm-hmm. just is, it's hard to watch sometimes, isn't it?
It's hard to watch, and storytelling is the key. Because when you really look at professional wrestling, there's only a handful of moves that someone can do. And so if you and I are in a match, you know everybody on the card is going to use a headlock or a headlock takeover. What you and I have to do is figure out a way to make my headlock takeover mean more in that match than someone else's routine headlock takeover.
Mm-hmm.
So not only does the individual match have to tell a story, it has to integrate with the rest of the card. And so you've got to string all of that together. And that is the hard part. That is the biggest difference between a good independent show and a poor independent show, is purely how each match is put together and integrated within one another. Every match has to tell a story. Every card has to tell a story. And every run has to tell a story. And they all have to intertwine. If you don't do that, it's a bunch of meaningless moves put together that at the end of the day, it's kind of like, oh, I was watching a gymnastics meet.
Yeah. Now, I want to give you a compliment here, because I saw exactly what you're just talking about on the TV show that Devotion Championship Wrestling in Salt Lake City has. And you were being handcuffed to Marlon Bishop during the match with Manny and Sam Adonis. And you guys played that up so well until the very end when you got out of those handcuffs. I was cheering. I mean, I was laughing my head off watching the TV. And I give you compliments there, because that's exactly what you're talking about. Because a lot of people don't know the story coming up to that match, and you guys told it perfectly.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's what we try and do is have just like when you watch any episode of TV, there's one main plot and then there's subplots. So when you look at the feud, if you will, or the run between Manny and Sam, it started out 8 months ago being me and Manny setting this up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the subplot of me and John Godfrey, the referee, getting into a tussle. We had the subplot of me bringing Katarina in, which went two matches over two promotions with John Godfrey, you know, and so literally we had that match that you saw in on our TV show literally took 8 months to come to fruition, 8 months of writing to bring that to where it was. And that's not to pat me on the back. That's the difference between just throwing a bunch of people in on a show and saying, here we go, let's go.
Right.
You know, or the traditional, I'm evil, you're good. And that's what pro wrestling is all about. And that's what I think why people like the WWE better than certain promotions, because the storytelling is there. Or at least there is a story.
Yeah. Sometimes you just kind of shake your head at what the way they're telling that story sometimes. But let's get back a little bit more to the independent promoters.
Yes.
Now, you did say earlier that you were a promoter in Phoenix and also helping out in Las Vegas. What kind of things have you been through personally trying to cancel shows or maybe plan out shows for the future that when we get out of this pandemic? What's been for you personally?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been really difficult because if you know, I'm going to start, I can't go into my experience as a promoter without kind of intertwining as an independent wrestler. So forgive me for my long-winded explanation.
I'm ready.
But pro wrestling is a lot like acting or the theater, in that you can be the greatest actor in the world, but if they're not looking for you, they're not going to pick you. Meaning, Matt Robles is never going to play the role of a Terminator. Okay, that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger does. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if they're looking for a 6'4" jacked up guy, no matter how good an actor I am, they're just not going to pick me for that role. So a lot of it is, how do you fit within a given system? Okay.
Right.
how do you come together with a given system? And so you work your whole career to hope that someone notices what you're doing and fits you in their system, sees how you fit in their system. And me and Sam have been working together for almost 3 years. And we finally, you know, got our big break to go down to Mexico and work all of WrestleMania week in Mexico with all the different promotions, ending up with Hoovy Mania. And that's what we were going to be doing the Saturday night before WrestleMania. Well, of course, that didn't happen, okay? There were going to be certain things that happened in that week that was going to set up what we were going to do in Phoenix Championship Wrestling. In particular, how do we bring in a Lucha Libre superstar female wrestler to Phoenix and make her relevant? Well, how you do that is the month before, you do something at a big promotion in Mexico, start a feud, bring her in to Phoenix, so that then you have the footage of you having conflict with this person. Then the independent wrestling fans generally would be like, who is Esther Lita? Wait, oh wow, she's very accomplished. Oh wow, she's really, I can't wait to go see her. So we've set that up. So okay, so now we haven't been to Mexico, so what we were supposed to be doing this upcoming weekend between Katarina and Esther Lita in Phoenix can't happen. Okay.
Yeah.
So now there was going to be a blow off match here in Salt Lake City May 2nd between Esther Lita and Kat. So we literally had lined up a feud that was going to go between three cities and two countries and end up here in Salt Lake City. So even if the green light was given tomorrow, we've got to retool everything, because we can't, once again, you have to tell a story. We can't just tell you Esther Lita is the top female professional wrestler in Mexico right now, bring her, and she's been for 10 years, and bring her in, because that hype isn't enough. You know what I mean? So what it does is it sets off a chain of events to where you have to really, really rethink what you're doing. So we have a date in Phoenix of June 20th of where when we figured June 20th was a safe date. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so we're going to have to reset everything. So we've literally had to rewrite all our shows starting June 20th, because it's going to be difficult to harken back to what we did last January and have people remember. So we're having to try and reset everything. So from a promoter's standpoint and a writer's standpoint, it is a nightmare, especially when you don't know when this is going to end. And so in my promotion, the wrestlers have been paid their deposit. They've agreed to come back in June. Where we're really fortunate is the airlines have said they're going to be really good with rebooking, so hopefully that'll happen. But there was two or three days there I thought we lost everything, because you have airline, hotel, everything. But thank goodness, for whatever reason, the airlines have decided to allow you to rebook with no penalty. And that's going to be at least Phoenix Championship Wrestling saving grace.
Wow. Man, it's driving me quite crazy. I don't know how you're doing it, man.
It's driving me crazy. And then, you know what, you know, and the mental aspect of all of this is what's so difficult, because for the past 11, well, let's go this way. I've been with ESPN since 1999, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in the football season, I'm doing a live sporting event every single weekend. Since 2007, I've been doing a live sporting event every single weekend, 52 weeks of the year, sometimes multiple events, and now it just stops. It feels like time for me has stopped. It's almost like that Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson looks at the clock and it goes backwards. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like, especially on the weekend, you know, I do have a day job. I am a structural engineer. But when I'm sitting there on Saturdays, there's only so many books I can read because I want to get out and perform. I want to get out and meet people. I want to be in the airport meeting people. It's the lifestyle that I've learned, and I just don't know what to do. And I've talked to a lot of my wrestler family. It's the same thing. They're used to getting in a car on Friday night, driving to Denver, and then driving to this place, then driving to this place, and finishing it off at 3 a.m. on Monday morning and saying what a great weekend they had or how hard it was. And it's done. And I'm sure any industry is like that, but in particular ours, with the traveling and the meeting people and the performing and seeing the people that I only see at wrestling events, it's been difficult.
Wow. Well, MK, I also wanted to talk to you about one other thing before we get into a little controversy that's happened this week in the world
sure.
of wrestling. You do a podcast, and this podcast has to do with raising funds for wrestlers who've fallen on hard times. Please tell us about that
yes.
one more time, please.
Yes. The Cauliflower Alley Club is a benevolent organization that, you know, as you know, throughout the years, all professional wrestlers, even who work for WWE, are independent contractors. We have to have our own health insurance. We have no retirement plan other than the money that we can literally sock away. And so just like any other industry, we professionals fall upon hard times. We get injured. We have something. So Cauliflower Alley Club is a benevolent organization that helps wrestlers who are in need. If you are a professional wrestler and you made a living in professional wrestling for 3 years or more, you can apply for help. And what every year we do is we meet in Las Vegas, the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. And that was supposed to be in 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And that's going to be so difficult to do without because there's people I see there, and that's about the only time I see them. And a lot of these people are getting up in age, and I don't know if I'll see them again.
Right.
But back to the main point, the Cauliflower Alley Club. It's a way that you can give back to the industry that when you think about all the pioneers of this business who sacrificed to give an industry to me to make a living at and an industry to you or any other fan to see, if they did not protect the business and they did not keep the business alive, we wouldn't have the business here. Because look at all the other entertainment industries that really have suffered and aren't there anymore. Think of roller derby. Roller derby never took care of its business. All the pioneers of that took, but never gave back.
Mm-hmm.
Pro wrestling always had an understanding of what they needed to do to protect the business and keep it vital and keep it alive for the next generation. So now it's time for us as fans, as workers, as good people, to give what you can to the Cauliflower Alley Club to help the wrestlers that are in need. And these wrestlers are the ones that gave you this business to enjoy and be part of.
Hmm. And this podcast is available how often and where can people listen to it?
Basically, go to Cauliflower. If you go into Google and just type Cauliflower Alley Club Reunion,
uh-huh.
but it's cac.org, CauliflowerAlleyClub.org.
Okay.
It's broadcast there. And basically, it comes out once every 6 weeks. And it's me and a very amazing gentleman named Jim Valley. And we have guests on there, Brian Blair. We have Blue Meanie. To be quite honest with you, it is sort of an infomercial to help get funds for the Cauliflower Alley Club and ultimately sell the CAC reunion. But we understand that we can't just do that. And so we give value by having very, very special guests on there. We had David Schultz, you know, we had David Schultz on there. We've had, you name it, they've been on there. So tune in and listen and then, you know, more importantly, you know, give what you can. Because I guarantee you right now, there's a lot of wrestlers out there that are in need, as with a lot of other people.
Right.
So if you've got some spare money, some spare change, I would direct it towards them.
All right. Now, we've got that out of the way. And this is one that you and I talked about beforehand. I really want to get into
yes.
this. Our friends at Devotion Championship Wrestling have made a little bit of headlines in the world of professional wrestling this week, because somebody contacted Jim Cornette, who I've always enjoyed his work. I'm not going to kid with you. I've enjoyed his podcast, although how many F-bombs he throws out there just gets me a little bit going. I say, okay, that's enough now, Jim. But someone from Ogden had sent in a message talking about Vince Russo and how Vince Russo was being involved with Devotion Championship Wrestling. Well, Cornette's response got the entire story wrong. I was so surprised when I heard that. What do you know about that?
Well, I want to say first and foremost how much I respect Jim Cornette and what he's done for the business. And I want to also state how much I respect and enjoy Vince Russo. So anything I say today, I don't want to seem like I'm picking sides. I'm going to say that I'm on the side of Devotion Championship Wrestling. And I'm going to say that Vince Russo has my love and respect because he's taken the opportunity and the time to be kind and help people like me, just indie guys that probably don't deserve his help. So I want to qualify what I'm going to say by that. So that being said, a person, you know, contacted Jim Cornette, and I really feel bad that Jim Cornette didn't do his job as a member of the media. And before he judged the product and the people working for the product, that he didn't even research it. And that he took the descriptions of what was going on with our show at face value from someone who at that point in time was a very unreliable resource. Meaning, he first thought that Vince Russo came up with the name Devotion, and it was a Christian or religious type of name.
Well, yeah, I couldn't get that. I didn't understand that at all.
I don't understand that. I can tell you right now that you'll have to ask Manny how he came up with the name, but we had been around an entire year before. Now, I'm not a member of management. I'm not a member of Devotion's front office. I'm not an investor. I am a performer.
Right.
In Devotion Championship Wrestling. And Manny's put this thing together by himself. I mean, other people have helped him, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so this whole business, he was around for a year before Vince Russo got involved. And you'd have to ask him where he came with the name Devotion, but I thought it was very unfair of Jim Cornette to just, oh, it's a Christian name and he shouldn't be doing that. The next thing that I felt was unfair is they presented the product that, oh, we watched the first episode and all it was an intergender match where people were hitting each other with tiki torches. Well, okay. That to me is like saying, well, you ever watch WrestleMania 17, TLC 2?
Yeah.
That was just a bunch of guys climbing ladders and hitting each other with chairs. You can't devalue. Now, granted, I'm sure it wasn't a perfect match. I'm not saying I've watched it. I loved it. I'm not saying it was perfect, but it was a hardcore match. That's what you do. That is how a hardcore match is worked. Foreign objects and weapons are part of the match. He did not look one iota at the context of what he was judging. He had never even seen it, okay? He had never seen the national talent like me as a part of the event, or a worldwide talent like Sam Adonis. He hadn't seen Jordan Grace. He hadn't seen all the people. He took one snippet and judged it. And it was sad because he used his feud or hatred of Vince Russo to cloud what should have been an independent judgment of an independent wrestling organization trying to make it in the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's what kind of aggravated me. And once again, I am also a fan of Jim Cornette. I've listened to his podcast. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, so I saw Jimmy when he was just taking pictures at ringside. So, you know, I'm very familiar with his career, and I think he's got a brilliant mind for professional wrestling. But his hatred of Vince Russo is well known, and I was so surprised he didn't take a few minutes to at least look at it and say, you know, this doesn't seem like this. And then to bring religion into it, is that just because Vince is a quote, born again Christian? Do you think that has something to do with it? And being Salt Lake City?
Yes. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, you know, divorces are always ugly. Divorces are always horrible. And my ex-wife developed a mentality that if Matt Robles was for it, it wasn't a difference of opinion. It meant whatever I was for was evil. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Jim Cornette's hatred for Vince Russo is so thick and so strong that if Vince Russo supports anything, he's against it. And that's unfortunate, because what I would have liked to have heard and say, oh, wow, Vince Russo's doing something in Salt Lake City, Utah. Let's look at that. Now, if you want to watch the product and pick apart the match move by move and say, I watched it, this guy didn't sell enough, the story was stupid, you know, whatever, give me your criticism. I'll take it, you know, because I'm not perfect. And the only way that you can learn is to admit you don't know everything and listen to people like Jim Cornette. So why couldn't he have done that? Why couldn't he have taken that? Why couldn't he have taken that email and deferred his judgment a week to where he could watch the product?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, and I'm going to say something, a curse word, but I'm quoting what was said in the email. It said, that shitbag Russo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That just shows how biased the person making the comment was against Vince Russo. So that would tell me, if I were Jim Cornette, this guy's so far the other way, I'm going to really have to do my due diligence to see if it's that bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he didn't do that. And I want to say right now, I've worked with the best. I've been doing this 10 years. I've worked in House of Hardcore. I've worked with Bubba, Tommy, all the best. And I'm telling you this right now. Vince Russo, I didn't know what to expect. I can't wait to work with him more.
Good.
I can't wait to do more with him. He is so nice. Now, that's not to say the other people I mentioned aren't nice. I'm merely stating that Vince Russo is so nice, so professional, so sharp. He elevated my game and Sam's game to a level that we couldn't have attained had we not had his advice and his tutelage. And so for someone to say that he is a shitbag or whatever you want to say is so misinformed, and it insults me, because I went from not having an opinion from the gentleman to having the highest regard.
Yeah.
For example, may I give an example?
Sure, go for it.
When you do a promo as a heel, sometimes you don't want to say things or go to places where the other person was at, because it's too personal.
Right.
As a professional, I always will ask the person, do you mind if I say this? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just the right way to do it. And so I was very intimidated, very scared. I wanted to say that he was the man that killed WCW. I wanted to say that in a promo, and I took him aside of everybody because I didn't want, you know, him to think I was pressuring him. You know, he literally went, no, bro, no, and then say this, and then go this. He gave me, if you watch my promo, and it's a little cut up, but if you watch the uncut portion, that promo against Vince Russo was written by Vince Russo.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I started with just saying one little stab at him about killing WCW, and he ended up giving me an entire orchestra of things to say. So that's the type of professional he is. That's the type of guy he is. And think of it this way. There's a lot of people in Vince Russo's position. What is wrong with wanting to take a fledgling promotion under your wing and help them out?
Right.
I mean, isn't that what we're trying to do to protect the business and make sure there's a business in 10 or 15 years?
Wow.
If anything, we need more of that. Why isn't Jim Cornette with another independent promotion? Why isn't he taking his knowledge and helping someone else out to help these young professional wrestlers. Because who in Salt Lake is going to help anybody get to a higher level in professional wrestling? I had to leave the state. There was nothing here, devoid of any professional wrestling until a year and a half ago. I had to go elsewhere. I had to go to Florida, Dallas, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. What is wrong with having help?
And then when you take it into the industry as a whole, if a strong wrestling scene is in Salt Lake City, Utah, Boise, Idaho, Reno, Nevada, some of these bigger, small cities, it's just better for the entire industry. You get more people that might have talent getting into the business. You have more fans being developed. I understand exactly what you're saying. And I got to go back to the last Devotion Championship Wrestling match that I went to just right before all this stuff really hit the fan. And I was introduced to Vince Russo by Tombstone Jesus. And going into there, I was hoping to meet Vince. And I've had not the best opinion of him over the years because I've heard what other people say. And I've got to say, I am so sorry. I should never listen to what everybody else says until I get the full story. Vince Russo, when I met him, and he was with Zane Peterson, myself, and some people I took to the event, was so gracious and kind. He laughed and giggled. He didn't cut us short. He took all the time we needed. And my opinion of him has greatly changed. And talking to the other wrestlers at Devotion, they've told me the same thing that you just told me about how he's helped them up their game. And I've got to give Vince props for that. And I'm reading his book that he put out, I think, in 2009 right now. And I think him maturing and also getting a little religion in his life has really helped him with his perspective in life. So I'm excited because Vince is going to be on our podcast soon, and I can't wait for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, think of it this way. You know, how do you form your opinion of a guy that really hasn't been in the public eye for 10 years? A lot can happen in 10 years. Are you the same person you were 10 years ago?
Not I know I was. No.
And I'm not here. Here's all I can say. Vince Russo, when I met him, was passing out flyers for the event. Okay?
Yeah.
If you don't know that, takes you a step back when you come driving, when you come walking up to the arena and you see there was a Jazz game beforehand and you see the guy who invented the Attitude Era handing out flyers for an independent professional wrestling show. That tells you what kind of gentleman he is. And it tells you that he not only cares about people, but he cares about the business, the perpetuation of the business, the future of the business. Because like you said, the better we do here in Salt Lake, the better the business is as a whole. Because you know what? There might be a John Cena out there in the Devotion Championship wrestling that his only exposure to professional wrestling is that live event that makes him fall in love with wrestling. Another Roman Reigns. Because when you look at every professional wrestler, pretty much in the history of wrestling, they started their interest by being a fan in the stands. And if there's no pro wrestling here or there's professional wrestling being done wrong here, then nobody has that opportunity. And so Vince Russo is helping perpetuate the business, protect the business for future generations.
Well, MK, it's been a fascinating conversation, and I cannot thank you enough. I just have been worried about how this whole pandemic is affecting not only everyone in the country, but as far as professional wrestling in the short term and the long term. And I agree with you that I'm hopeful that people would take the opportunity to help out. A matter of fact, on the podcast, I'm talking to Christopher Evans, who is a co-host back in North Carolina, and we were talking about whether we like the empty arena matches or not. We still need to watch them because we're fans and we need to help them carry on. And I say the same thing with you guys. As soon as the independents can come back, man, we got to support them as much as we possibly can.
Of course. Well, and it's just like me. Here's what I've been, I mean, I know this isn't much and I'm, I don't want to come off as some pompous saint, but I can very easily make my own lunches during the day. Okay.
Yeah.
I deliberately am ordering my lunches to be delivered to me by local businesses, even though I'm probably paying $6 to $8 more than it would cost me just to make my own lunch, because it helps the business and it helps the delivery driver.
Exactly.
And I want to keep these businesses alive so that when this is all over, they're still there. That's how I feel about pro wrestling. So to all your fans out there, go to the FSW Snake Pit Academy. It's a Facebook page. Throw whatever you've got, be it $5, $10, and you will learn more about professional wrestling in one of those seminars than you will in your life. And for all the independent professional wrestlers are out there, get in touch with these guys, Danny Cage or any of the coaches from Snake Pit. Send them your stuff, send them some money, and they will evaluate you and you will be better for it. And when this is all over, you'll hit the ground running.
Wow. Well, MK, it's been a fascinating conversation, and I wish you the best and always welcome you anytime you want to be on the podcast.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And we'll be talking more with you in the future, and I can't wait to see you again in person, my man.
Oh, yeah. Yes, next time you talk to Manny, virtually punch him in the face for him.
I certainly will. Thanks,
right,
MK.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll see you.
I don't know karate, but I know Karaza. Get ready for the big payback.
It's time to take out the trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And we always got to get my man on here, James Christopher Evans from North Carolina. How you be, my man?
It's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. We just had a good rainstorm, but now we're going to have a storm of WrestleMania and see if we can cry in our own beer about what we saw.
Well,
this should be interesting. You can cry in a Diet Mountain Dew, and I'll cry with mine.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting here, because I know this for a fact, because I saw it when I was today, the day that you and I are talking WrestleMania, April the 7th is National Beer Day.
Well, I'm going to be celebrating all. Well, I can't. I got to work.
You should have started about 7 a.m. this morning, right off you got off the job. And now you got to get ready for the job. So no beer drinking. But how about root beer, ginger beer? You could do that.
I've never had ginger beer.
That's pretty good stuff. It's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to give it a shot one day.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what we saw and what happened.
The WrestleMania 36, the one that was just too big for one night. And it should have just been on one night. It shouldn't even been, to be honest with you. I mean, there was parts of it I enjoyed, but I wish they would have just postponed it. I really do.
Okay, answer me this. Did you believe that every time somebody won a title and there was no fans to react, wasn't it meaningless? Meaningless? To me, it was. I mean, look at Drew McIntyre. He's winning the title and there's no crowd. There was nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't WrestleMania. It just wasn't WrestleMania.
It was like a glorified edition of Monday Night Raw or SmackDown during this time frame where they had no crowd. Although there were some decent matches to, I would say, a couple of good ones. And then there was one that I'm still scratching my head over, man. I don't know. Let's go ahead and talk about the Firefly Funhouse here. The Firefly Funhouse match, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, against You Can't See Me and I Wish I Didn't See Him, John Cena.
It was the weirdest thing I have ever seen in my life. It was I don't know.
We've made him speechless, guys.
I don't know. I mean, I felt like I was watching when Bray Wyatt had John Cena dancing with him, I thought I was watching Batman and the Joker. I don't know what to say. Who was on the drugs when they came up with this segment? Who was snorting the cocaine? Was Vince Russo involved? I'm sorry. Was Vince involved?
No, I'm joking.
Sorry, Manny. I didn't mean to, but go ahead. But still, you tell me, what did you think? I mean, I was like, I was tripping on acid watching John Cena do those weights and they were behind the cage. And I know it was Saturday night main event, but what does that have to do with it? What does it have to do with it?
Well,
I don't get it.
You remember our guest we had, Kevin, from First Spin Podcast?
Mm-hmm.
He was on Facebook. He was trying to explain it all with all the references to how the NWA and Hulk Hogan and them held younger talent back, and now John Cena's doing that. And he's going to address that on his podcast. And to me, that was too deep. You know, wrestling ain't supposed to be deep. Wrestling's supposed to be wrestling. And if you're trying to read deep messages into it, I guess my brain just don't run that deep into water. I got shallow water. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, I have shallow water every day when I wake up, but didn't it seem like that Cena turned heel? Didn't he turn heel to himself, basically? He was a heel to himself? I mean, that's what Kevin was trying to say. He turned himself heel. He showed him the error of his ways, but that's not wrestling. Okay, that's fine and dandy. You showed Cena what he was. But what does that have to do with wrestling? I mean, yeah, it was a good segment in the NWO. Was even Cena part of the NWO?
No.
Okay, so what's the matter? I mean, geez. What the hell? Now the Vince McMahon part with the doll, and he's poking Cena, and Cena just standing there. How could a 16-time world champion say, you know what, I decide I'm just going to bury myself in this WrestleMania. No problem. Okay. I don't know. I'm just, you know me, I'm still speechless. I just can't understand it.
Well,
you
had mentioned right before we started recording here that you thought it was the stupidest thing you've ever seen.
Well,
okay. Is it?
Yes.
Is it? Is it really? Is it really the stupidest thing you've ever seen in professional wrestling? Is it really James Christopher Evans?
No. It's not the stupidest thing. The stupidest thing I've ever seen in professional wrestling, when Jerry the King Lawler came up with those midgets, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in professional wrestling.
No.
No?
No.
What did you say that was?
TNA. Okay. Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
Nonstop Action, yes. Mm-hmm.
The broken Matt Hardy with his final deletion they did on his ranch in North Carolina. To this day, I cannot mention how much I hated that segment. And I have...
Okay. Well, you won. You won that segment. There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. And the champion of stupidity is...
That's
Dave!
Wow.
Denton. Thank you so much.
You got that one. You got it perfectly on the head, because that was TNA when they did that. That was the dumbest thing on the face of this earth. So,
but
yes, I will go ahead.
Firefly Funhouse was
in a close second.
pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Andrew Sowell, I think he liked it. You know, but he's also the devotion, you know, champion that he made up his own belt. But
well, Andrew likes to play with duct tape and championship belt at the same time. So there's a problem there as well. So
I'm having fun.
I'm hoping that Andrew does hear me, because we have gone back and forth with his little gimmick and my gimmick. So Andrew, if you are listening to the program, please, Gorilla Glue duct tape works wonders. Nobody will ever take that thing away from you.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Other than that, you're doing fine, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, when I'm gonna calm it down.
Mm-hmm.
It down.
Go right ahead,
okay,
sir.
Let's
mm-hmm.
calm down.
Yes,
let's be deep, like Kevin is in his podcast. Okay. Because
no
my water is so shallow here. So
I have none.
I didn't understand it. I mean, it was slightly entertaining. There were portions of it that I kind of got a giggle out of. I liked the dancing part, to be honest with you. I thought that was funny. But as an entire segment, I would give that a C-, just above a D for the entire thing. I just didn't particularly care for it.
I didn't care for it whatsoever, but everybody's been talking about the Firefly Funhouse. They all said, one, it was good. Some people say it was bad. It was the worst thing they could ever done. Why did John decide to do this? But John did put over the Fiend.
Yeah.
So at least he put over the Fiend.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. John, great haircut. Love it. You're doing fine now. I'd like to find out how in the world that you're making your body look like that, because, I mean, you're one big ab. That's it. You tell me, you already said it. You gave it a C-. I'll just give it a flat F.
Minus.
Yeah, that's fine. The only part I found that was real funny was the Vince McMahon doll poking Cena.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Other than that,
I didn't understand the NWO. I understand the Thugonomics. And then, that was it.
His little rhyme to Bray Wyatt when Bray started looking like he was hurt, that was clever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, about being, you know, coming in, not living up to his potential. And that was clever. I enjoyed that part. All right. So maybe I'll take one minus off of it because of the Doctor of Thugonomics. But overall, I think we're in agreement that that match was questionable at the very, very best and horrific at the very least.
Yes.
Right?
I will admit that one. Yes, it was.
Okay.
We'll get that one pushed out of the way because there's another one that we'll have to talk about that everyone's talking about.
Go ahead.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Boneyard match. I didn't expect what I watched, but it was like watching an old-time Western.
It was, wasn't it?
It was like watching an old-timey Western, and here comes the hero on the horse. And I give props to AJ Styles. You did a heck of a job. And I give props to Michelle McCool for one heck of a slap across what? AJ's face.
Huh? When was that?
You didn't see Michelle McCool slapping?
No.
Yeah, Michelle was in it. Michelle McCool slapped AJ.
Where was I? I watched
it. I don't know.
It.
I saw her.
Well, I'll be daggone.
She slaps AJ. Yeah, Michelle even got involved.
I wonder if I had something going on with my not-so-deep water and I had to go. Well, that's... That's a different story. I really didn't see that, or I don't remember it.
I just don't. The one part that really got me was the druids or whatever the heck they were when that barn lit up and all four of them. Maybe that was Dean Ambrose wanting a job again or something like that. Go back to.
No,
I don't know.
I thought the whole thing was. I thought it was awesome. I mean, from the moment AJ comes out of that casket and cuts that little promo on there, he looked so evil, you know? And then you have The Undertaker coming up in his American Badass gimmick, and he's not trying to talk like The Undertaker. He's talking like Mark, you know? And I liked it. I didn't have a problem with that. I think some people had a problem that he wasn't talking way down here and, you know, so that
I like
rest
the American
in peace. I do, too.
I like the American Badass.
Me, too. Me too.
At least you can understand what he says.
Right. And I thought the match itself was very, very well done. Special effect. I even wrote down while I was watching it. And like I said, I didn't see Michelle. I'm going to have to watch the match again because I put that Michelle would be involved in my predictions. Remember that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to have to watch it again to make sure that I'm not losing my mind. But anyway,
well, I got to find out how many I didn't win, how many I predicted right, and how many I predicted wrong. I got to see.
Yeah.
I never did my count yet. So
well, I did. I had eight. I had eight. And, you know, there was a couple where I had put some predictions for swerves and storyline in there that were about 50-50. But anyway, getting back to the show with the Boneyard match, I had written down about halfway through it. I said, this reminds me of watching a fight scene in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was such theatrics. I just, I was enthralled. I really, really enjoyed it.
I did too. Watching The Undertaker ride up on the Harley. I mean, it was a physical match, and then AJ's crew got involved, and the Taker had to take them both on at the same time.
Yeah.
It just kept going, and it was a good – and I think people enjoyed the Boneyard match than anything that the Taker has ever done.
It was fun.
They wanted more of that. Uh-huh. But they say that the Undertaker was injured in the match. And a lot of people are speculating that was his last match ever.
Well, you know, but when he broke the glass in the truck, I think it was with the truck, he broke the glass, that his arm was actually cut. I mean, that's you can't fake that. He didn't bleed very much, but you could see where the skin was flapping around, you know. It looked kind of gross, but still, it was a fun. I liked this, I guess, because I am so much into the storytelling aspect of professional wrestling that I really, really enjoyed it.
I mean, like I said, that was one of the two matches I enjoyed. The Boneyard match was perfect. I think whoever created that, whoever got that design set up, marvelous. Y'all did an excellent job on that. Some of the matches at WrestleMania for the Tag Team Championship, that was kind of strange.
Which one? The ladder match?
Yeah, the SmackDown for the SmackDown title.
Okay, so you know the story behind that, don't you?
Yeah, because The Miz came down. He was sick, and I don't think did he have COVID-19?
I haven't heard. I don't want to speculate on that.
He was ill
when he showed up for the taping where they were going to do the three-team ladder match. And they had give the WWE credit and give the performers credit. You know, Kofi Kingston, one of the Usos, and John Morrison for putting on an entertaining, very physical ladder match that had to be changed at the last minute because The Miz comes in. And he is ill that day of taping, and they wouldn't let him go. And that was also one of the reasons that Roman Reigns had to pull out. Because, of course, Roman has that immune system that is compromised because of his leukemia. And, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox here real quick before we get back to this ladder match. Roman had to post on social media, a video of him telling people to get a life because they were calling him a coward, thinking that he was dipping out of WrestleMania 36 because he didn't want to get in and didn't want to get sick. Guys, we're talking about the man's life, so get off his freaking back, okay?
I agree.
I think that those people that sent that to him, they should be banned for life from watching professional wrestling. I am sorry. I am so tired of some of these marks out here that think that they know something that they don't know because what they don't know shows how little they do know. That makes sense to you?
Well, yeah, it does. And I give props to Roman Reigns for doing what he did on social media. The only thing I don't give him props on is please change your sunglasses. They kind of freaked me out.
And get rid of the man bun.
Yes, please get rid of the man bun.
Yes.
The man bun's got to go. That's, we're not going to.
Yeah.
Maybe Andrew. Maybe you can get you a wig and have a man bun. That'll probably be a good gimmick for you.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble because Manny has a man bun. Manny. Yours looks fine. I just don't like. Yeah, and you can have whatever kind of hairstyle you want. I just don't like the man bun. I just don't because I'm old.
Manny, I'll tell you right now, if you're listening to the podcast, Manny, if you go bald, you're beautiful. I know this for a fact. Okay, go bald, you're beautiful.
Yeah, you Come do on. Know have, that for a fact.
I guess hair versus hair match. Let's have your next match going. Hair versus hair match.
Anyway, let's get back to this ladder match with the three teams being represented by one person. Very physical match. Very well done. Kofi Kingston is such a great athlete. And then so is John Morrison. He did some things in there because he does work parkour that were amazing. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad the Miz and Morrison, still are the champions. I thought it was fun.
I was kind of shocked with that match because it was all three competitors. It was three competitors in there for two title belts, and it was interesting to watch three men go at it, but Morrison put on one heck of a show. He's like a human highlight reel. And, I mean, the other two, they did everything they could. And, I mean, they put their bodies on the line for the roaring crowd that was in the – oh, sorry. The hot dog concession stand was even more empty. So,
I mean, we're not going to go match by match. We've talked about the one that we really didn't like and then the one that we really loved. Let's talk about the difficulty of coming up with an interesting program to cover what? Over 8 hours of programming in two nights that were supposedly going to be extremely entertaining. How difficult would it be to be able to put something together that's going to entertain people that much over a two night period, especially? I just can't believe they even came close to doing it.
Well, I know Vince probably had to lose some sleep over this, and I know the Triple H probably put another roll in his back of his neck from stressing out over this. And I mean, how can you set up a WrestleMania that's supposed to be like the Super Bowl of professional wrestling, and now it's an empty arena and the fans are just staring at their TVs and the only thing you can hear is the wrestlers and the referee, and that's it.
Yeah. Our friend, the MK Bandit, who has managed. He's a heel manager, and he's been all over the United States: Pittsburgh, the Bronx, Salt Lake City, Phoenix. He's does some stuff in Mexico, California. He's well known in the independent circuit as a manager, a great manager of that, and a great wrestling fan on top of everything else. He had a social media post that I thought was very interesting, talking about doing an empty arena match. How interesting would it have been, and I don't know how you could have done it, but if you could have gotten social media involved somehow, that everyone was watching and making reactions, and then they could have mixed it all together with maybe 50, 60, 70,000 people from around the world, and then, you could have mixed it together just like crowd noise. But once again, I don't know how difficult that would have been. But I thought it was an interesting concept for if we have to go through this again. And I'm sorry, I think we're going to have to go through this again because they're talking about COVID-19 possibly making a return in the fall. So I get prepared, okay? Go get your toilet paper as soon as things calm down. Start stocking up and just be prepared because it might come back in the fall.
It could. I'm hearing June or July for the COVID-19 to go away. We don't know. We can only hope and pray that it does go bye-bye, because this has been, I think, the biggest slam to the United States of America. And all the people that have passed away, we give our prayers to your families that this has turned out to be a fiasco for sports, for families, for life. But we just need to pick ourselves back up and keep going again and keep moving. But what the WWE did for the two nights, I give those boys credit. They put on a heck of a show. It was entertaining. But some of the title changes were not surprising whatsoever.
Right, right.
Like the last one. Well, I really figured Becky would lose. I was surprised. And everybody had
Becky to lose. I thought Becky would lose too, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I knew Charlotte was going to win. Drew McIntyre, I knew he'd win. But the one that really surprised me was Braun Strowman. I didn't see that one coming.
I did. I saw it coming from a long way away. As soon as I heard Braun Strowman was going to be the opponent for Goldberg, I knew it was going to be a short match. I knew, what was it, five spears by Goldberg and four power slams by Strowman. That was about it. But I didn't think that Bill had signed on long enough to defend his title again more and more. And now it's going to set up, somehow it's going to set up for Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman down the road. When that happens, we just don't know yet.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy for Braun Strowman. He's deserved that title for a long time.
Yes, he has.
For the way he got it, I mean, no reaction from a crowd. But at least you have it. I mean, you did deserve it a long time ago, and now they put the title on you. Congratulations. You are the one that really, you've earned that title.
I would say it was better than I was really expecting. I think I did on my blog post on Cool 103.9, the radio station I work at. I think I put it like a 7.5 out of 10, just because there was things that really surprised me, that some of the stuff I really enjoyed. I mean, I even enjoyed Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley.
That was a knockdown drag out.
Yeah, they just murdered each other. I enjoyed Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. I think Shayna Baszler, and I was actually just telling my wife this just a few minutes ago. I said, I like Shayna Baszler. She's not your atypical women's wrestler, as far as you remember when the Divas were out and all you had were the gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, I'm not calling Shayna ugly by any means, but she's not that typical blonde, girly girl. But I have watched her enough now to know that she can grapple. She can use martial arts. She uses MMA. She is, sorry, Lex Luger. She is the total package. She can do anything in the ring. She cuts a decent to very good promo. And I think she's going to be a champion in the near future. Not too far down the road, she's going to win that championship.
Oh, I know. There's going to have to be a rematch somewhere. Probably SummerSlam. They'll do it again.
Yeah, probably so.
It'll be SummerSlam. They'll do it again. They'll put the belt on her. And it's going to be kind of interesting how long this is going to last for until SummerSlam.
Right.
I mean, are they going to – man, if they do SummerSlam, they get like WrestleMania. Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's gonna be hard. Maybe they'll take it over to Dubai and do it over there. So. Wow, but they go to Saudi Arabia for WrestleMania. That would be horrible because they always have terrible shows there.
Good Lord.
Okay, one more question about a match.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to talk, and I thought this might steal the show. I put it in my blog that I thought that there was a possibility that Dolph Ziggler and Otis would steal the show. Because that Dolph Otis. Ziggler, Ziggler is such a good performer, and Otis is fun too. So, what did you think?
Yeah, Otis is. I loved it. I really liked the. It was a back and forth match. Otis did real well. The good guy gets the girl.
They had a couple of high points in there that involved Sonya Deville, and she gets into the ring and distracts the referee, and Dolph Ziggler. Kicks Otis in his that's a good way to put it. And then here comes Mandy Rose. Now I'm gonna get back into this just a little bit more, but Mandy Rose comes in and she slaps Sonya Deville, her fire and ice partner, then gets into the ring and there's distraction, and she was the uppercut on Dolph Ziggler and his Wachobies.
You have been kicked in the testicles.
Now, and then Otis won the match, which I was fine with. I expected it. But I don't know how many other people are bothered by this, but one thing bothered me in that match. At the end,
go ahead.
Here comes the beautiful Mandy Rose, who I'm, she's okay to me. Not anything special. But the beautiful Mandy Rose comes in, and she's in her full wrestling gear. And she was not supposed to be in any wrestling match. Does she just go around 24/7 and say, I'm in my wrestling gear. I've got my bathing suit on. But she was in full wrestling gear. And I don't understand why they had her show up in her little outfit. Why?
Don't know. I mean, I know that those two, Otis and her, they are an item.
Yeah, they've
they are together. They are dating, but I just it doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe she was supposed to interfere in the match somehow or try to interfere, but they canceled it out.
Yeah, I just don't understand why they had her in her gear. That was strange. That was Firefly Funhouse strange to me. So,
yeah, okay, I can see that. Sure, that's Firefly Funhouse strange. Yes, that's still scarring my brain right now.
I don't know if I can ever get that out of my mind. I mean, like I said, it was just better than the final deletion, but not much better. And then, okay, let's get back to that one more time, because now in AEW, you've got Matt Hardy, and he is now setting up a feud with Chris Jericho as the broken Matt Hardy. Not the woken, the broken. Not the woken, but the broken Matt Hardy.
Broken.
And they have Vanguard 1 back. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I never have been a huge fan of that.
But my question, and we were trying to do this on the last podcast, and we got distracted a little bit. I didn't like the way that they introduced Matt Hardy.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like the way they did it. I mean, I know it's an empty arena. They had no choice. But what a way to enter. And what is the deal with that drone?
Vanguard 1.
Well, Vanguard 1, please show your face on camera. I'm getting tired of hearing those little spinning fans.
I'll give credit to Chris Jericho. He's playing off Vanguard 1
credit, because that was one heck of a promo against that drone. I laughed on that. I couldn't help it.
When he put the little tiny T-shirt on the drone at his house. And he starts yelling at him. I told Teresa they should have said, "You owe me $10 for that T-shirt."
Yeah. I'll give A&W. I'm thinking about a root beer. Oh my gosh!
It is National Beer Day, by the way.
Yes, it is, sir. Yes, it is. don't remind me. I have to be at work. Darn it! But yeah, it was. I'll give AEW credit. They did a heck of a job on these empty arena matches. But AEW has now been suspended for some time. They're not going to be doing any shows, empty arena shows, for a while.
They have recorded. They pre-recorded a whole bunch, thinking this might happen.
Okay.
Yeah, and the same way with the WWE. What we saw on Monday Night Raw was not Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. It was recorded before WrestleMania, I believe.
Oh yeah.
So
now, I did like the Big Show coming out. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that part of it. So,
and his, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be very difficult for us as wrestling fans to watch some of this, but I think we should. I think we are to go out of our way to watch as much professional wrestling, even if we don't particularly like the empty arena matches, because these guys are trying to stay in business just like the little restaurant down the street, right?
Oh, yeah. It's hard. I mean, it's hard.
It's hard out there. But I will give AEW credit. Their empty arena matches have been so much more entertaining than most of the stuff on the WWE. My wife even has sat down the last 2 weeks with me and watched AEW, because she's enjoyed it. And then we sat down to watch Monday Night Raw, and I had the fast forward going so quick, and I finally said, let's turn this off, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say AEW, as far as the empty arena match wars, which we should start calling them now, the empty arena match wars, and we'll get all the ratings and everything and put it on social media, because it doesn't make a hill of beans difference.
Nope. It doesn't mean anything anymore right now. Not until this goes away. Then they can start doing their little, they're commenting on things about, AEW is beating the WWE again. Who cares?
Yeah, that's exactly just right. So just watch it, enjoy it, and take it for what it is. Yeah, and just enjoy the wrestling for what it is supposed to be, entertaining. You're not gonna like everything that a product puts out. Let's put it this way. Fox TV, they have Friday Night SmackDown. I watch it. but they also have these reality shows that I wouldn't stink up my living room with, even though I don't have smell-o-vision. It's the same thing. You are not going to like everything the WWE does. You're not going to like everything that All Elite does. You're not going to like everything that NXT does. But, Chris, you are going to like everything that Turnbuckle Trash does, right?
Well, of course I'm going to like everything that Turnbuckle Trash does, because we're about as entertaining. We're more entertaining than WWE is. At least we have a little bit of laughter, and we have our controversy sometimes, but we don't have any chair shots going in yet. I have to bring my own chair out.
Yeah. So hit yourself in the head with a chair. crack yourself open. So, you know, it's not wrestling. Like you say, it's not wrestling until someone was
Unless someone is cracked open and they're bleeding buckets like Ric Flair did, no. But I will say this. If everybody will turn, if you have Netflix, watch the Big Show show.
Is that good?
See how you like it. It is funny. It's funny. But, I mean, Paul White, congratulations. You got a heck of a show, and it is on the top 10 of Netflix right now.
Really?
And he's doing, yes, the top 10. It hit the top 10 of Netflix. And he is excited about it, and I'm glad. I mean,
good for him.
He was already I figured he was retired by now, but no, he's not. He comes in every now and then and does his one punch.
And that's his role right now.
Yeah,
they're asking him to do that because he's still a name. He's still a draw, you know? And especially now that he has this popular TV show that I don't have Netflix so I can't watch it. But, you know, if he can get a little publicity for his show and then the show gets a little publicity for the WWE.
Yeah, it's good to see that these guys are still doing things, although this stuff is going around. They still got wrestling doing this, but it's the smaller promotions that are really, really getting hammered. And I don't even know how the NWA is doing right now with this. Is it really hurting them, or are they're just backing off as much as they can? Are they even doing empty arenas? Empty arena with them? I mean, I haven't seen NWA in a while.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't turned it in recently because with all this stuff going on, and I got to admit that my life has been turned upside down with some of the volunteering I do with my job and with trying to get everything set up so I could work from home the last 2 weeks. I have not watched the NWA yet. I plan on trying to catch up with it. I haven't watched several weeks of championship wrestling from Hollywood, which I enjoy. There's also the show on Viceland, The Darker Side of the Ring, I think it's what it's called, which is fascinating.
They're really diving in on that stuff. I love it. There's some things I didn't even know about that I like. The one for Bruiser Brody. I like the one for Chris Benoit. And if anybody had went in on the Facebook page and saw what I had posted about New Jack talking about Chris Benoit, I apologize at first. I did not know that New Jack was going to do what he did, but that's just New Jack. I mean, that man went off.
Yeah.
And he was talking, and every word that came out of his mouth was just holy. But we already knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, right.
But there were some things I didn't know about Chris Benoit. But there's a lot of things that, look, guys, we will never know what happened or how it happened.
Right.
So it's speculation.
Everything is speculation. You have a lot of people out there speculating that it wasn't Chris Benoit. It was a hit. You have people speculating, of course, the steroids issue. I will say this. It was a tragedy either way it happened, and I feel so bad for his fans. I know Vicky Guerrero, who has been on the podcast with us, she was so emotional talking about that and also talking about Eddie. When I was just talking to her at the FanX event, she got a little emotional talking about Chris and talking about Eddie a little bit. And I can't blame her. And then you've got you got some people out there that don't understand that these people are people.
They're people, all right.
Yeah, they make mistakes. Some of them are complete total jerks.
Yep.
the ones I've met have been absolute wonderful people. I mean, I've met several performers over the last couple of years and had several on the podcast. But I know there's going to come a time when I set up some sort of interview and there's going to be an idiot that's going to tick me off, you know? That's the nature of being people. So we just have to understand that.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be on the podcast that, I mean, we don't know if Jerry the King Lawler will be that. I doubt he'll ever be that way. But, I mean, you're going to have some people on here that's going to be really nice. You've had Bill Dundee, you've had Vicky, you've had Chris Masters, you've had all these people that are really nice. But one of these days, you're going to have somebody that's going to come on that's going to be a total jerk. That's all there is to it, whether he's doing the gimmick or not.
Yeah, early in the podcast, we had a local performer on. I'm thinking he was from Salt Lake City. I'm not going to mention his name. Uh-huh. He was pretty much a jerk, but I just let him be a jerk. I thought he was trying to be in character, and I took it as that a little bit later on. But he was kind of jerky. But it is going to happen because people are who they are. And
I'll tell you the biggest jerk that there is right now that everybody can't stand, and even AEW has said that he's part of the promotion, but they don't like him anymore, and that's MJF.
Well, I think he's playing a character.
I think he is, but after what he did with that kid, and I know he stays in character, I understand that. And even Cody came out and said, look, that's just way too far.
Right, and I agree.
That's way too far.
I agree.
Yeah, you can be a jerk to him, but why in God's name would you do that to a child?
And I will agree.
Why would you do that in front of a child? MJF, he's a great heel. He's probably one of the best in the business. We've talked about him before. Great heel. But MJF, you've got to remember something. That child will always remember that picture. Unless his dad has ripped it up and thrown it away or deleted it off his Instagram or Facebook page, he'll never see it again. And I don't blame him. That's just too far. Way too far. So
I'm not going to stand up for him by any means.
Nope.
But he's only in his mid-20s, so he's immature.
Yeah, he is. He's immature, and he's cocky, and he's come up from the indie circuit to now the big leagues, and he is like the nature boy is, and he's like, well, I'll take it even a step further. He's almost like with Jerry Lawler every time he turned heel. Everybody wanted to spit on him or throw acid in his eyes or anything else when he came into the arena. So, yeah, I can understand that. He's learning from the best. He's learning how to be a good heel. But, you know, you got to learn how to pull back the reins just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And I'm going to go back to when I had an interview with Marty the Moth, Martin Casals. Actually, this took place during the FanX, the Comic-Con convention that he was on a panel discussion, and I was also on that panel. And we talked about the difference in kayfabe. And he said it was so difficult for a heel, like he was in Lucha Underground, that after the shows, he'll go out selling merch and stuff, and people will come up and talk to him and tell him what a great heel he is. And he doesn't know how to react to it because, do you go along with kayfabe and be a jerk, which Martin is definitely not one of those, or do you say, oh, yeah, that's just a character I'm playing? And I think that's something that MJF will eventually figure out, and I hope he does, because if he's like that his entire career, no one will book him. Think Austin Aries.
Well, I have a question for you. Since Lucha is not around, they're not doing anything anymore, what is Marty doing?
You know, I don't want to speak for Martin as saying I know exactly what's going on, but I know that I saw Marty event and I talked to him for a few minutes and he was having difficulties with his back. And I think he took some time off. I know he's been doing more and more. I think he's going to get back in the ring if he hasn't already, but I think he took some time off to get his back in shape because he was really hurting when I saw him. And Martin, if you hear this or any of his friends, you know, he's welcome back on the podcast anytime because I just think the world of Martin And I think the world of Marty the Moth, because he was one of my favorites on Lucha Underground.
I'd love to see him go to the NWA.
I would too. That he would be a perfect fit for the NWA. So,
yeah, we'll if they're going to let Colt Cabana in AEW, let Marty the Moth in the NWA.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go there. But
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. One other thing before I let you go. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the Rock and Roll Express and Ricky Morton. You had posted something. Tell us what's going on with Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express.
Ricky Morton has been diagnosed with Bell's palsy. Mm-hmm. This is going to be very hard. But you know what? The man is still going to be in the ring,
mm-hmm.
and he's still going to compete.
Yeah.
More power to the man. He's not going to let this get him down. And he stated on a podcast that he doesn't care whether he has to be let in on a gurney or in a wheelchair. He's going to get back in that ring because that's his life. It's his blood. But my question is, and maybe you can answer this, the Bell's palsy, do you think it's from all the shots and all the wrestling and no, it's not.
I don't believe so. And I tell you why, because it is a very common, uncommon mm-hmm. disease. Jim Ross has a palsy. I'm not exactly sure what it is. We've had people mm-hmm. in our family that's had palsy. It's just something that happens as people get older. And I'm not a doctor, although I do play one on the radio. I really don't believe that this has anything to do with his wrestling career. And you know, like I said, I hope not. But boy, what a brave man he is. You'll remember, I'm sure Jim Ross has probably reached out to him because Ross had his bout with palsy, and he wound up getting fired by the WWE because of it, because they didn't like the way his face drooped. You know, that made me so mad at Vince McMahon, I almost stopped watching WWE at that time. But, you know, Jim Ross has said he can be difficult, Vince can be difficult, and that's why he's worked for Vince and then got fired by Vince. And so, but with all this going on, I just don't think it is.
Well, the one thing you brought up, Vince McMahon, about the Bell's palsy. I think it was on SmackDown that one night he put on the cowboy hat and he tried to make his face look like Jim Ross, and he was trying to act like him. Man, that's just downright low.
Yeah.
Come on. Look, Jim Ross will always be the voice of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the Mount Rushmore. There's Gordon Solie and there's Jim Ross.
Right.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
So, and let's see.
Lance Russell.
Gordon Solie. And, okay, well, we'll have to put – I'll put Lance in front of Gordon Solie. I mean, I'm sorry if I say that, if it may offend anyone. But Lance, Gordon, and Jim Ross. Those three on the Mount Rushmore.
And, you know, Ross has a new book that's coming out. And my mm-hmm. wife, while they were talking about it on AEW last week, actually ordered the book, and I'm going to be getting his autobiography soon. And in that, there were, and I'm not going to quote it right now, but evidently Jim, our good old JR, had a health issue about the time that this incident you talked about, the cowboy hat, came on, mm-hmm. and it upset Jim's wife terribly.
Oh, my God.
And when I read more about it, I will talk about it. I hopefully get that book in pretty soon. I'm reading Vince Russo's book from back in 2009, I think it is. Reading that mm-hmm. right now. Hopefully I'll have that done because I'm a slow reader before we get Vince on the podcast with us. But there is a great side to professional wrestling. But like in any industry, there are idiots. I mean,
oh my gosh, yes.
You look at the entertainment industry, there's people like Gary Sinise. And then mm-hmm. you have that idiot Baldwin, you know? Two complete different, very talented people. But mm-hmm. I tell you what, I'd invite Gary Sinise to come to my house anytime and break bread. Adam Baldwin, all I would do is break a crock over your head.
2x4 over his head.
Yeah. Hoyo!
There you go.
In any industry, even in... And I'm going to go back to my industry. And I've been in radio since 1974. I'm an old fart. I've met some wonderful people. I've met some people that I wouldn't give time of day to. You know, we go back to people being people, and sometimes people are just jerks. So,
I will say this about Jim Ross, and even in Memphis, there was some, you know, good wrestlers. There were some idiots, and there's been some jerks. But the one thing that really stands out with me about, I will say this about the WWE, when they had a man with Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and he was supposed to act like Jim Ross. And I can't remember what the man's name was, but he was trying to look like Jim. I mean, he had the same body style, and he had the cowboy hat, the black, and he's with Dr. Death, Steve Williams. And he was trying to act like his manager, but he was trying to be Jim Ross.
Uh-huh.
And that was the biggest slap in the face to Jim.
Uh-huh.
And that was the biggest jerk. That's just, I don't know why Vince does the things he does sometimes like that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Why do something that a man that has put his life into a career, and you're going to badmouth him like that? But Vince gave him the blessing to go to AEW. He said, I have no problem with what you're going to do. It's your own life, and you're not under contract with me. Go right ahead. Vince had no problem with it.
Right.
And I'm sure, I mean, everybody has that. I mean, but what, the only thing that I'm going to ask is, guys, if you have a problem with somebody, why don't you just talk to them face-to-face and get it over with and quit just backstabbing BS? Come on, guys. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it.
It's not worth
it. It's not worth it anymore.
Life is too short, and I think we're finding out about that as we have to stay at home, social distancing from each other. And boy, you and I are social distancing by a couple of thousand miles.
Well, I think we got the 6 feet over with. Now we don't have to worry about that. But we're doing everything we can. Everybody on our Facebook page, please keep posting. And Kevin, with your podcast, I keep listening to it every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Have no problem with it whatsoever. But yeah, guys, keep posting everything on our Facebook page, and maybe we can get everybody together again. Maybe Kelly, come on.
Yeah,
and we can have a fatal four way again, and we can start talking about wrestling. But once this is over with, I think everybody's lives will go back to normal, and maybe it'll help us. I don't really know.
Well, you're going to find out when this stuff starts calming down. You're going to find people for a while will calm down. They'll be nicer to each other, and then then human nature takes over. I mean, it's common. Look what happened after 9/11. How united we were as a country for a while, and now look at us.
Oh yes, we were.
Now look at us. And I hate to make political commentary, but I will on this. It's a shame that we can't, Democrats and Republicans, stop acting like little frickin' children. And that's what they've done.
Well, I'm not going to get politically correct on this, but at this time that the country needs leadership, we have somebody that's trying his best to do what he can do, but so many people hate this man that they want to see him fail, but this man is doing everything he can. He cannot cure this, guys. He can't cure it. He can't wave his hand over and everything goes away. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and there's nobody on either side of the fence that can do that.
No.
Not a
soul.
Nobody
can do anything about it. So,
work together. That's what we're
going to
do.
Yeah, we just have to work it out. We have to work it out. So.
Well, Chris, what a great discussion we had. We had a lot of fun, but we got pretty deep there a little bit too, which is quite unlike us. Yeah. So, but we'll talk again in a couple of weeks, talk more about professional wrestling. Maybe we should try to get Kelly on here again and talk to him, get his perspective. He's been a lifelong fan, and he can really talk about professional wrestling very, very distinctly, better than me. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, he was taught by the best right there and then. So we'll have to give you props on that. We'll have to give you props on that. You've taught me a lot too. Hey guys, on the Turnbuckle Trash, let's see what you want to talk for us to talk about next time. Let's have a poll.
Yeah.
What would you like for us to talk about? I mean,
I like the idea. I like the idea of talking about announcers.
Let's talk about our announcers.
Talk about announcers.
Some that
sometimes.
People have never even, probably some that never people have never even heard of.
Uh huh.
Cool. And let them go back on YouTube and see the guys. I mean, when we mentioned Gordon Solie, how many people remember Gordon Solie?
Right. Right. So, well, it's been a lot of
all
fun,
right.
Chris.
Sounds good.
Any final words?
Well, all I can say is, guys, just keep up with the professional wrestling. Try to watch everything you can, even though there are empty arena matches. And just keep watching. That's all you can do. And hopefully everything goes back to normal soon and we can continue our lives. But I enjoy every time that I get on this podcast. It's a lot of fun. Wish Zane could have been here, but I know he's a very busy man. He likes the comedy version. And Zane, I'm going to buy that. You know, I've got an Intercontinental Championship I've been bidding on. It's the real deal Holyfield belt for like $80 on Facebook. I'm the highest bidder right now at $20. But when I get that, that's going to be, we're going to have the promo belt. I'm gonna hold on to it for a while, but that's going to be the promo belt for me and Zane.
Okay.
We'll see who has the. We're going to see who's got the best promos against each other, and maybe I'll do like Andrew and I'll put duct tape over it and put it, you know, Zane's name on it if he wins.
Well, we'll have to see. The promo champion of Turnbuckle Trash.
There you go.
I think it would probably turn to me. So anyway.
There you go. That works too. All right.
Hey, have a great time, Chris, and we'll talk to you another time, man. Okay.
All right, y'all have a good night tonight. See y'all later.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
I don't know. I mean,
ding, 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 and the champion of stupidity is Dave Denton.
I'm glad I'm not gonna be on that episode.
Throw me whatever money you can afford to give me.
Today, the day that you and I are talking WrestleMania, April the 7th, is National Beer Day.
Well, I'm going to be celebrating all... Well, I can't. I got to work. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was just a bunch of guys climbing ladders and hitting each other with chairs.
I would give that a C-. Just, and to me, that was too deep.
Well, Andrew likes to play with duct tape and championship belts.
You know, wrestling ain't supposed to be deep.
Next time you talk to Manny, virtually punch him in the face for him.
Something that they don't know, because what they don't know shows how little they do know.
I'll give A&W.
Wrestling's supposed to be wrestling.
I don't know. I mean,
I want to keep these businesses alive so that when this is all over, they're still there. That's how I feel about pro wrestling.